Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
The road to the MLB All-Star Game presented by MasterCard starts with you. Who will take the field this July? The power is in your hands. Phase one of the 2026 Konami eBaseball MLB All-Star ballot is open. Vote up to five times daily for your favorite stars. And get a bonus daily vote by downloading the Konami eBaseball MLB Pro Spirit game. Top vote getters advance for the chance to be a starter. Cast your ballots at MLB.com/vote. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Randy Cross sitting in for Gio, and we're coming to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studio. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. And next on the show, Corey Chavis, long time, very damn good defensive back in the NFL, Mr. Corey Chavis. What's happening, Corey?
Man, I thought you were going to introduce me as a longtime friend.
Oh, yeah. Oh, next time. Yeah, longtime friend.
Next time.
Yeah, exactly. College football analyst for CBS Sports Network. You are a friend. That is right. You are a friend of both Randy Cross and myself, and a friend of the program as well. How you doing, baby?
I'm doing good, man. How are y'all doing this morning?
We are doing well, and right off the bat, I want to get your four teams that you think will be in this college football playoffs initial ranking.
Well, I think Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, and I'm probably going to have to go with the last team being maybe a little bit of a surprise. I'm going to go with Wisconsin as the fourth team.
Well, that's not a surprise, but I am surprised that you would put Ohio State ahead of Oklahoma, both sitting there with one loss. And, of course, the only loss for Ohio State was at the hands of Oklahoma in Ohio State's backyard.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's a good point by you, but also I feel like, I mean, it was pretty close with me between Penn State and Ohio State, even though they lost to Ohio State. I still think that Penn State will get strong consideration just because of how, some of the dominance of their wins. I think the reason why, the thing that will hurt them is just how close the Iowa game was for Penn State.
Now, you still didn't answer my question. Oklahoma beat Ohio State, man.
Well, I know Iowa State beat TCU.
Right.
I like Iowa State a lot. But I still think, I just wonder how much credence people are going to put on Iowa State. I guess if Iowa State is ranked, maybe they're ranked pretty high because of the two wins they've had now over two top five opponents. Then I guess your point is valid. Oklahoma could go up and sneak in, but I don't know. I mean, I still feel like Ohio State is, I guess it was such a blowout. I think that's what you're saying. Oklahoma
right.
Dominated them so
yeah.
much.
Yeah. Dominated them, yeah, man. And Iowa State.
I mean, I don't have a perfect formula. I got to get some BJ. Randy, what are you
doing? neither does the playoff committee, so don't feel lonely on that one.
Iowa State is currently ranked 14th in the nation.
Yeah, but I'm saying, what do you think they're going to be ranked in the committee's poll tonight?
Yeah, they'll probably be somewhere around there, I would believe. But I just think beating someone on their home turf and in the fashion in which you defeated them carries a lot of weight. And the team you lost to is now really being recognized as a quality better than average football team in Iowa State, knocking off not only Oklahoma, but now TCU. So you've knocked off two top five teams Iowa State has.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I think Oklahoma should get more consideration having gone on the road and beat Ohio State there in the horseshoe.
And for my money, though, Corey, I mean, I kind of throw a blanket over Ohio State, Oklahoma, and Notre Dame. You know, I'd go with the three undefeateds, considering these polls really don't mean anything. Go ahead and give the undefeated teams their due and let the other three just kind of, you know, let them fight it out. See who sticks around the longest as to who's going to get in.
Well, I think you bring up a good point. What about, I mean, but the TCU, can they be in that blanket too, just because since they were still keeping Oklahoma in it, TCU only loses to Iowa State, but yet they've beaten a team that I think will be around the top 10 in Oklahoma State in their place. Does that mean TCU has still got some consideration?
Well, TCU is sitting there at 10, to your point, and Oklahoma State, the team they beat, they're in Stillwater, they're right behind them. So we're going to have to – that's what we love about
and
these
we got
polls.
And we got Bedlam this week.
Right, so. We got Bedlam this week, so that's going to muddy things a little bit more for one of these teams. But, okay, TCU loses, only scores 7 points. They're at Iowa State, but they are still ahead of the team they knocked off, Oklahoma State, but yet Ohio State jumps ahead of Oklahoma, a team they lost to. So that's why we like these polls. It forces us to get out and argue.
Conversations.
Exactly. It fuels the conversation.
Well, I mean, I think it's going to set up – I think the only thing that I find most interesting is that even in our conversation so far this morning, the Big 12 teams seem to all be getting talked about, and I think they're going to maybe play themselves out of it because they decided to add the conference championship game. But I think that by the time they get to it, everybody will already have a loss. Well, they already are. Everybody already does.
Yeah, everyone has a loss currently. And I think we'll have to see what shakes out in the other conferences. The Pac-12, of course, Washington has a loss now. And everyone has a loss on their leisure there in the Pac-12. And we'll see how this Big Ten plays out. Looks like Ohio State can run the table. Of course, you have big games versus Michigan. Iowa will not just roll over and let them run through them this weekend. And we'll see if Penn State can jump back in it. And Wisconsin, can they stay unscathed as they head towards another conference championship ball game? That's going to be the big question.
Hey, Corey, who's the best team you've seen this year so far?
Wow, that's a good one. I think probably in terms of, well, Ohio State, as I did. I went to their first game of the season. It's tough because I went to their first game of the season and then I went to Penn State, and watching them both in person, I thought Penn State had a little bit better team, just in terms of just athletes. And the only reason I said that was because I thought Ohio State would have a markedly better defensive front than what I expected to see from Penn State, even though I knew they had recruited well. But I was, to be honest, I was a little bit slightly more impressed with Penn State's defensive front in person. And just in terms of their get-off, and of course one team was playing Indiana and the other team was playing Pittsburgh, but just being down on the field and seeing the size of both, you know, I think that's a big deal. I thought that the offensive lines were kind of similar, you know, a little bit probably, I guess, more highly acclaimed recruits in terms of Ohio State, but some of those guys haven't quite developed. They seem like they're getting better, and I think that showed up a little bit in the fourth quarter on Saturday, that their offensive line is getting better, Ohio State.
Corey Chavis, college football analyst, CBS Sports Network, joining us here on CBS Sports Radio, Gio and Jones. JT Barrett, I know you're probably already getting your draft nasty, your analysis all together, and I know that takes up a ton of your time, and it's a great product that you put out each and every year. Where would you have JT Barrett rated as far as the quarterbacks coming out next year's draft?
He's probably, for me, just I would probably say, you know, a guy that's a fringe guy, you know what I mean, quite honestly. I mean, I know that he's a great college player, probably will be in the top five in the Heisman, but I just don't see the game-winning touchdown, for example, a step late, you know, just doesn't always anticipate the throws. And I think that extra step, I remember a corner route he threw against Nebraska a couple of weeks back, I was watching it, and just seeing like how the player came open and he had to see it another step before he threw it. And you guys know this. You know, we've all played the next level. You know, that extra step is an incompletion in the NFL. And you see it every week from Cam Newton, you know, be a step late. You know, so I just feel like he doesn't have the overwhelming skill set to overcome that. I do think he'll get a chance. But again, you know, he's going to have to kind of will himself. I thought he has improved his accuracy in the medium range game, though.
So who would be your top quarterbacks right now? Rosen, Darnold, if, you know, Darnold decides to come out, who knows what's going to happen. But who are your top guys?
Well, of those guys, the two that you just named, I like Rosen. But I just don't think – I think what a lot of times when people talk about the quarterbacks, they just seem to leave Lamar Jackson out of it. And the reason why I don't think you can, because I think he's – you know, obviously you can nitpick his game as well, but you can do the same thing with the other guys. I mean, he is averaging, you know, well over 300 yards passing, and some of it has been junk yardage, and he hasn't always shown up. But I don't know about the talent around him. I think the same thing you have to do when you look at Josh Allen at Wyoming in terms of supporting cast. And I think Lamar Jackson has something that you can't discount, and it's what Michael Vick had when he came out. And this isn't Cam Newton, this isn't Deshaun Watson, this is 4-3. And so you're going to pick up an extra 5 first downs with that a game, and that's why Michael Vick didn't have to be a great passer. I played against him a lot, and it was very, very different when you played against somebody like Michael Vick, because the passing part actually became secondary. And I think that's what Lamar Jackson is going to bring if he decides to come out. Mm-hmm. And I like the fact that he's played under Petrino. So for me, Lamar Jackson is a rare commodity in terms of playing the position, because you can't, you know, discount the fact that he has very, very spectacular arm talent.
Baker Mayfield.
I think he's in the mix in the top 5. I think this game, you know, is kind of a top 5 breakup game between him and Rudolph. Sometimes I think instinctively you could think that Mayfield sometimes is more instinctive than Rudolph. Rudolph obviously better size and maybe even better deep ball touch consistently. I think Mayfield has a chance to be a second or third round pick. I think he'll get an invitation to the Senior Bowl. I think Rudolph will as well. So this battle between these two is just starting this Saturday.
I'm glad you mentioned that about Jackson, because it seems like in a lot of notice around the country, since they as a team have dropped off, his publicity, his mentions have dropped like a rock. But you look back at his stats every week, and he's throwing for a bunch of yards, he's running for a bunch of yards, he's still getting touchdowns. It's just the other guys are scoring 2 touchdowns more than them.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Randy, and he's had a lot of drops. I mean, if you look at the Florida State game, he threw 2 game-winning touchdowns before it even came down to the fumble by Blackman where they had to get the ball back, and then he led a 90-yard game-winning drive for them, but he had 2 touchdowns dropped previously. And again, I want to emphasize, I do think he still misses some throws. He airmails some throws, but it's nowhere near as pronounced as what you would think. And there's a lot of throws that he makes that are, you know, just the simple throws and layups that he doesn't miss. He's gotten a lot better. He runs into too many sacks. He's got to improve his ball security. That's the same thing with Darnold. Darnold is probably not as careful throwing the ball, and he also fumbles a lot. Now, the most natural passer of the group to me is Rosen, and I think Allen may, him and Jackson are on par with arm strength. I think Allen may be a little bit better with that, and Allen's getting better as the year is going on.
Well, let's talk about a position you know a ton about, not to say you don't know about these others, because you do, but defensive backfield. And you look at Florida State, they are reeling. They got their you-know-what's handed to them the other night versus Boston College. And you look at some of the studs in their secondary. Is it Tavarius McFadden and Derwin James? Are you seeing still stellar play from those guys? Because coming into the season, we were hyping them up. And then they were 2 of the stalwarts on that defense that we thought would be formidable. And as I said, Florida State's just been taking it on the chin.
Yeah, it's a great point you bring up with those two guys. I think McFadden may end up essentially, he's probably best as a cover 2 corner. I think long speed will be the question with him. Very instinctive player who can has excellent ball skills, okay tackler. When routes break away from him, he doesn't have great closing speed. I think James is going to have to be, if you're going to be a first-round pick with him, more of the Deion Buchanan type. And me, you, and Randy have kind of broken a lot of these guys down together. you know, that hybrid kind of guy, you know, linebacker. You know, I don't know off the hash whether or not, I mean, you watch him against Lamar Jackson, a couple of angles that he takes, just coming down from the top down, and you can see, you know, that adjustment against players of that caliber may be difficult for him. Excellent blitzer. I think you could do some things with him in coverage against tight ends. Kind of a hybrid kind of guy to me.
Well, speaking of hybrid, who are you looking at coming up here as this season progresses? Who are the best pass rushers in college football? Because that's the one entity that every single NFL team needs, and they don't always have to draft them high.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I mean, you hope that Marquise Haynes down at Ole Miss is a player that, you know, you would think could put on maybe some weight and potentially, you know, make the next step. Bradley Chubb, you know, I had a chance to watch him in person a couple times last year. Kind of one-dimensional, but he's a strong player, a guy that has good get-off. Started the season off on wildfire, has kind of settled down. I don't think necessarily in terms of being able to project Mata'afa at Washington State, if he were to come out early, you know, he's more of a chess piece type of player. I think you bring up a great point, though. The pass rushers, to me, are kind of lacking in college football in terms of you just want an elite guy. You're going to be hard-pressed this year to find one. I like Rasheem Green out at USC, but he's more of a five technique, and again, another junior. It's going to be interesting to see Duke, a Jewel Four from Wake Forest is another guy, but he's a little bit stiff. I'm telling you, this is a year where you're going to be struggling if you need to get a pass rusher. You're going to be struggling to go through some tape.
What about Ronquo from Oklahoma and Sam Hubbard, Ohio State?
Yeah, well, I like Oko a little bit better than Hubbard. Hubbard has to develop a better secondary pass rush move. I think he can be a little bit one-dimensional. It's a big reason why his production has been a little bit down this year as compared to last year. A lot of these guys really just haven't been able to finish. Now, the one guy we haven't mentioned that I think is probably going to be the number one player pick because of that dearth of pass rushers is obviously Harold Landry at Boston College, who I do think, you know, he missed last week's game against Florida State. But he's got length, and he's also got pretty good bend, and he might be able to stand up for some teams.
All right, last, and we'll let you go. My Texas defense playing much better when they're not allowing opposing teams' wide receivers to run scot-free in that secondary. Malik Jefferson, we'll see if he decides to stay. But are you impressed with the improvement on that side of the ball for the Longhorns?
I mean, you can't help but be. I mean, I know you got to be proud as one of the great defenders in school history to watch these guys carry on your tradition and some of the other guys who've come through there and done such a great job. And I really think that the one player, Hill, you know, has been the player that I think has stepped up in terms of just his overall game. I know he does, you know, he's had a bunch of touchdowns and stuff like that, a couple of them anyway. But I just like the way he's competed. And I think people forget how big he is. Obviously, Elliott has made the most plays in the secondary, but for me, when I watch them, I like the way Colton Hill has competed in terms of that secondary. And I think their defensive line, they've got a pretty good unit up front. I think probably the guy that I'm most impressed with doesn't get a lot of props is Puna Ford. He's kind of a thick fire plug kind of guy, but, you know, I think he helps those other guys go.
Corey Chavis, college football analyst for CBS Sports Network. CC, appreciate you, my man.
Man, it's always great to talk to two of my guys. I'm so glad to talk to y'all. Thanks for having me on.
You got it.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5.
Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.